KCIW, Curry Coast Community Radio. Storytime. Ralph's Day Off. A short story by Angela Ewing. Ralph Pritchard swung into the parking lot at Highfields High School and heaved himself slowly out of the dark blue Volvo. It was going to be a hot day, and he was glad he'd set the alarm for an early start. He glanced furtively toward the athletic track and checked his watch. 6:30, and only one woman on the track at the far end, thank God. He was painfully aware of his untoned body and self-conscious of his thin legs. He didn't relish the thought of too many people gawking at his odd shape. That was one reason why he'd never gone back to the local athletic club. Everyone looked so great except him. He ambled over to the track, stretched and swung his arms and stretched again before he began to jog. It was his second day at the track, and he thought his limbs were about to seize up. But he'd made up his mind. It was now or never. Somehow he'd got to get rid of the excess weight around his middle. He forced himself to run, slowly at first, then he picked up speed and passed the dark-haired girl he'd seen at the same time the morning before. Out of the corner of his eye, he noticed her large, dark glasses. Much too large for a small face, he thought. Her long brown hair, tied back into a ponytail, was bright neon pink. It swung from side to side with every step. Next time around, he noticed her firm body, her small but well-shaped breasts moving slightly under her blue t-shirt as she jogged. By the time he'd taken in all the details of her tall, athletic figure and long legs, he had done 6 laps and found himself sweating profusely. He slowed down to almost a walk. And she passed him as though in a trance, head held high, her strides measured, her pace even and rhythmic. Totally out of breath, Ralph flopped wearily into the car, muttering to himself, "Oh gosh, this is agony. What the hell am I bothering? I'll probably always be overweight. It's in my genes." Glancing back at the track and the dark-haired girl, he shook his head sadly. Lustful thoughts flicked through his mind. He sighed. "Nope. Never in a million years would she go for me," he said aloud as he drove out of the parking lot. While he shaved, he squinted into the mirror. Without his glasses, he could see only the blurry reflection of a pale, plumpish face and eyes, dark blue, set too close together. He cursed as he nicked himself with a razor. Ralph talked a lot to himself these days. Having lived alone for 10 years after his mum died, he considered it quite permissible. He knew he couldn't do much about his looks, but he did care about his weight, especially when the guys at work made comments about his shirt not buttoning at the front. At 5'11", he knew he should be around 160 pounds, not 210. He ran his fingers over his receding hairline. "Gawd, I'll probably be bald in 5 years," he said gloomily. "Yep, bald at the age of 37. By the time Ralph arrived at the office, he was depressed and in a foul mood. His boss, Doug Smith, waved good morning. Ralph ignored him. Doug had hired Ralph 2 years before as a salesman for Industrial Polymers Incorporated. He had come to the company with excellent qualifications and a degree in chemistry. He certainly knew his glues, and despite his unkempt appearance, he had proved that he could sell his products, at least in the small towns where local mills had once been in abundance. Now, because of the decline in the logging industry, cutbacks and closings of mills, Industrial Polymers had sent Ralph further afield to the bigger corporations, many of whom had taken over smaller companies that once operated independently. Doug worried about Ralph's appearance, that it might alienate the sophisticated executives who ran the bigger companies. Already he had a few comments about Ralph's sloppy appearance. Ralph had noticed that the bosses in the larger corporation wore suits. He thought that was a bit much in the logging industry. Loggers were loggers and mills were mills. Who needed a tie, let alone a fancy suit? "Hey, Ralph, I need a word with you, please." Doug beckoned Ralph into his office and closed the door, motioning Ralph to sit down. The high-backed leather chair sagged visibly under Ralph's weight.
"Things not going too well for you these days?" Doug asked.
"Sure, I guess why," Ralph said gloomily.
"Well, you've been in some pretty bad moods lately, if you don't mind me saying so."
"Oh, yeah?" Ralph was taken back.
"Yes, and you've got to do something about those clothes. Can't you buy something other than cheap plaid shirts with your pay raise? You get a damn good salary compared to the rest of these guys."
"Guess so." Ralph looked down at his unpolished shoes. Doug looked too.
"Yeah, a long time since those have had a bit of spit and polish, wouldn't you say?"
"Suppose so," said Ralph. He sighed.
"I'll get spruced up for next week. Got to look good for the big mucky mucks." He tried to smile.
"Good lad," said Doug, patting Ralph's well-padded shoulder.
"Then I won't have to fire you, will I?"
"Oh, gee, as bad as that, is it?"
"Well, let's just say I've had complaints about your appearance, and the big boss has given hints about letting you go if you can't represent this company better dressed."
Then seeing Ralph's downcast expression, he said, "Hey, since you're not out in the field today, why not take the day off, get some new clothes, take a walk in the park, anything to help you feel better, eh?"
Ralph turned to go out. "Okay, you're the boss."
For a few minutes, Ralph sat in his company car, wondering what was going on with Doug. He longed for a cigarette, but he hadn't bought any for the past 2 weeks in an effort to quit. Everybody said he shouldn't smoke, but now he found he wanted to eat all the time. He rolled down the window. Already it was hot outside. What the hell was he going to do with an unscheduled day off? Suddenly he knew, at least for starters anyway. He headed straight for the Mercedes-Benz showroom on the corner of Baxter and 6th. There it was, the S554-matic. Still in the showroom floor, gleaming silver grey in all its glory. "That's a real piece of machinery, that is," he smiled to himself, remembering how he'd made the salesman squirm. After an hour of haggling back and forth, he was able to get the price down from $130,000 to $122,000. 122,000 big ones. He'd added a sport package, and the warmth and comfort package, plus the super sound system. The salesman had promised that would be the price when the time came. And with the money his mother had left him, plus 3 more months' savings, he'd have enough. "You'll soon be mine, baby," he said. He rolled up the window, visualizing self at the wheel. He could smell the fresh leather and hear country and western music in stereo booming around the interior. He drove further down the road, letting his imagination soar. There was a garden centre a few miles along the road. Trees in barrels lined the outside of the shop, and roses in pots bloomed in a mass of red, pink, and white. On an impulse, Ralph went inside. The trees reminded him that he'd neglected his garden for several months. That was it. That's what he'd do today, a bit of gardening. Take his mind off of Doug's problems. Despite the heat, digging the earth sounded good. He needed a couple of plants to spruce up the front yard a bit, maybe a rose or two to add a bit of colour. For the next half hour he strolled up and down the paint aisles. He found several varieties of bare root roses, cheaper than the ones in pots, some shrubs with names he couldn't pronounce, and a bag of fertiliser. He arrived at the counter with the trolley loaded. There was something familiar about the girl behind the counter, although she had her back to him serving another customer. Her hair, tied back with a pink elastic band, reminded him of the girl at the track. Her white shirt and blue jeans hugged her figure neatly, and the strings of her green apron went twice round her slender waist. When she turned and smiled, Ralph caught his breath. The girl from the track, still in the dark sunglasses.
"Hi," she said. "Got everything?"
"I need a couple of tomato plants," Ralph stammered.
"They're over there. What variety do you want?"
"Variety?"
"Well, you know, beefsteak or medium size or cherry. Where are you going to plant them?"
"In the garden," she smiled. Ralph was embarrassed.
He must seem like an idiot to her. "I'll show you," she said. She came out from behind the counter and he followed her down the narrow gravel path, watching her hips as she moved through the trays of young vegetable plants and seedlings. When she stopped and he caught up with her, he noticed she was a bit taller than he, so he straightened up. As she bent down to show him the label on one pot that said Early Girl, she accidentally brushed his elbow. He felt his temperature rise, told himself to pay attention. She was talking. "I think this one would be the one I'd recommend if you haven't done much with tomatoes. It's a medium size and easily cared for. Just water it evenly, you know, regularly, and fertilize often. You'll have lovely tomatoes for months. You will need some wire cage stakes, otherwise they'll fall over with the weight." "Right." She picked up the pot and the stakes and walked back up the path with Ralph. He was right behind her, studying her hips again. "Say," said Ralph, "do you jog in the mornings at Highfield School? Didn't I see you there this morning?" "Yes, I go every day, try to keep in shape, you know. Can I help you load these into your car?" "Oh dear," said Ralph, "my car's loaded with paperwork and samples. I'll have to go home and clear everything out to make room. I don't live far from here." "Oh, don't worry," the young lady said. "If you live close, I'll have them delivered to you as soon as my help gets here." An hour later, a green van with Vanderbilt Nursery and Flowers, printed in large white letters on the side, pulled into the circular driveway. The dark-haired girl stepped out. "It was slow," she said, "so thought I'd come myself. By the way, I'm Laurie Vanderbilt." She reached up into the van for the plants. "Hey, they're heavy," said Ralph. "I'll get those." "By the way," Laurie said, "I don't think I can truly guarantee success of the roses. It is a little late to plant bare root, you know." "Ah, gee, I'll give it, I'll just give them plenty of water. What the hell, they'll either live or die, right?" "Well, I think you should have to take a bit more responsibility if you want them to survive. They'll need a lot of deep watering and then systemic fertilizer." Ralph coughed. "Of course, you're right." He was aware he'd said the wrong thing. By her tone, she was definitely not pleased at his attitude towards gardening. Then, afraid that she'd suddenly be gone, he said, "Say, Laurie, maybe you could give me some advice on something. I've been reading about an unusual tree that I'd like, and I can't seem to find it in any nursery." "Well, I have to get back right now," she said. "I've left the new girl alone." Then she looked at him. "If you like, I'll come by on my way home tonight." Ralph breathed easier. "About what time?" "Oh, probably 6:30, somewhere around there." "Fine, fine, I'll be here." Ralph could hardly wait for the evening, and when he went to answer the doorbell, his hands were trembling. He had a book open in the living room for her to look at. She came inside, and he noticed she was still wearing the dark glasses. "See if you recognize this tree," he said, pointing to a photograph in the book. "Might be a good idea if you took your dark glasses off." "Oh, I'm very self-conscious without them," Laurie said quickly. "Really?" said Ralph. "Mind if I ask why? I mean, I'm always embarrassed. The way I look, I can hardly stand myself most of the time, so I go back to the track. I'm so overweight, and my glasses are as thick as Coke bottles." He laughed, hoping she'd laugh too. She only smiled. "Well, you can do something about your weight, and you can get contacts. I mean, if that's what you're talking about. I can't do anything about my problem. I'm stuck with it forever." Her voice trailed off miserably. Ralph realized she was near to tears. "Oh," said Ralph, "really that bad, huh?" She nodded. "Tell me about it if you want to. You've got me intrigued," said Ralph. She took her glasses off and faced him. Ralph gulped when he saw the ugly scar that reached from the top of her left eyebrow to the bridge of her nose. Her eye was almost closed, and scar tissue had formed into a hard ridge. "Oh, it's okay," he said quickly. "Nothing that can't be fixed with a little plastic surgery." Laurie put her glasses back on. "Do you think I haven't thought of that? You know how much it costs to have a good surgeon fix this? A lot of money, thousands of dollars." "Was it a car crash?" Yeah, my husband was driving. He was fine. I went through the windshield. She raised her voice. I was Miss Idaho in 2005. Look at me now. Tom divorced me 2 years ago. Couldn't bear to look at me. She paused. Well, no, that's not really true. We were having problems long before the accident.
Good, said Ralph. I really am sorry.
Laurie nodded. So, what's this tree you want me to look at? Ralph had forgotten the book and the photograph. No insurance, huh? He asked. I'm self-employed and I never worried about medical insurance. I did have a small plan. It covered some of the medical bills. But I was in hospital for 2 months on and off. I'm still paying the hospital.
Ralph was depressed when she left that evening.
He saw her at the track every day. He was in town and they'd spend a few minutes talking about the weather or something trivial. When the weather cooled, Ralph kept on with his running in the mornings just to see her. It was always a wonder to him that she gave him the time of day. She was so friendly and gorgeous. It didn't bother him. She had a few scars. He often went into the nursery to buy something just to see her. She was always cheerful and complimentary about his weight loss. They talked a lot about gardening. She was definitely a lover of nature. She said she'd been camping during the summer, often in the middle of the week when business could be handled by her employees. She said she went on her own, took long hikes in the woods. She showed him photographs of trees near fall plumage. Ralph had always been ignorant of these tree species, but now he began to see them for their shape and beauty. When Laurie said she'd never have anything to do with hunters, Ralph didn't let on that he loved guns and he used to hunt regularly with his buddies. Now he wondered if he'd ever enjoy it again. She joked with him about his weight loss. You getting skinny, Ralph, you handsome devil, you. Actually, when he looked in the mirror, he could swear his eyes were further apart, and with his tan, his receding hairline didn't seem so obvious. His sales territory was growing rapidly. The glue business was good. Doug told him that he really was impressed with him and the new suits. When he arrived at the office without his glasses, his workmates had to take a second look to make sure it was him. Doug yelled across the office, "Hey, is that you, Ralph? Have you suddenly got your sight back?"
"Contacts," said Ralph.
"You're a new man," said Doug. There must be a woman in your life." Ralph had no doubts that Laurie was the reason for his high spirits. He'd often longed to hold her close, to take her lovely face in his hands and tell her how beautiful she was. But he couldn't ever get up the nerve to make any advances. Certainly couldn't kiss her. What if she didn't like him that way? He didn't want to risk finding out. Laurie was different from the girls he'd known. She was far more sensitive and refined. In fact, he conceded that, for a woman, she was really very intelligent. It occurred to him that Laurie didn't really seem bored when he talked about his work. He could even discuss the technical side of things with her, and she didn't yawn. He finally made up his mind to ask her out. Maybe a trip to the coast. They could stay at a little hotel he'd discovered on one of his business trips. The hotel sat on top of a cliff and had a lovely restaurant with every window facing the sea. The rooms were light and bright and had floral bedspreads. She'd like that. He decided that he would ask her on Friday. After all, Friday was going to be a great day. He planned to do something very special. Might as well celebrate with Laurie. He could see himself now, driving the silver Mercedes, parking it outside the garden center. She'd be wearing her tight jeans and the blue clingy blouse he liked so much. They'd drive to her house, pick up her luggage and head out for the coast. What a blast! Arriving at the hotel in a silver Mercedes S550 with a sexy girl hanging on his arm. Friday finally arrived. He went to the bank on the way to the track and had them make out a cashier's check for $122,000 to Willoughby Mercedes Inc. $122,000, he said as he carefully folded the cashier's check and put it in his sweatshirt pocket. When he arrived at the track, Laurie wasn't there. He ran 10 laps easily and then walked 3. Wasn't like Laurie to miss a morning at the track. It was later than usual after he'd called at the bank. 9:30, still no sign of Laurie. Ralph began to worry. He went home, showered and changed, put on his newest grey suit and slipped his checkbook into his back pocket, along with the cashier's check. His worst fears were confirmed when he found that Laurie was not at the garden centre. "Where's Laurie?" he asked the young girl behind the counter. "Oh, she's homesick. She's having real bad headaches again."
"Again? Does she often have these headaches?"
"Oh, yes, after I run in the mornings, but she only takes time off when they're really bad." Ralph said, "Can you give me her address?"
"Oh, I don't know about that. She doesn't give her addresses out to customers."
"Come on, you've seen me here a dozen times. I just want to see her, just for a minute. Why don't you call her and ask her if it'll be all right if I come around?"
Reluctantly, the girl dialed the number and then gave Ralph a nod.
"It's okay." She went to the back office and came back to the counter with Laurie's address, an apartment on Fifth Street. Laurie greeted him at the door with a steer-tained face.
"Come in, Ralph," she said. Her voice was almost a whisper.
A few minutes later, Ralph was sitting at the kitchen table opposite a pale-faced Laurie. Her eyes were wet from crying and the scar looked even bigger and redder than before. Ralph sensed her distress as she leaned on the table, her face cupped in her hands.
"I've got to have surgery," she said miserably. "The doctor says that something's pressing on the optic nerve. He said I could go blind."
A fresh flood of tears streamed down her face and she pulled out a tissue that was tucked under a sleeve of her white sweater. She blew her nose loudly.
"I shall have to sell the garden centre. I might get lucky and come out with a few thousand for the building and fixtures," she sniffed. "I don't care about my looks anymore. I just want to be able to see. If I couldn't see in my flowers anymore, I might as well be dead."
A glimmer of a smile touched her lips. Ralph's heart went out to her. He suddenly realized he loved her more than anything else in the whole world, and that included the silver Mercedes waiting for him at the dealer's showroom. He just wanted to take Laurie into his care to tell her everything would be all right. As usual, though, words didn't come easily to Ralph, especially at a time like this. Instead, he reached over and covered her hands with his own. She looked up at him, tears still sliding down her cheeks.
"I love you, Ralph," she said simply.
Ralph was stunned. For a few minutes, he said nothing. He just gripped her hands more tightly. At that moment, he pictured them both in the silver Mercedes-Benz arriving at the lovely hotel on their honeymoon. Laurie was talking to him again.
"I've been meaning to ask you how your roses are doing. Did they survive?"
Ralph didn't answer. He was far away in his silver car, his foot pressed to the floor, accelerating to 70, 80, 90 miles an hour, cornering like a dream, clinging to the road like glue. Smooth, smooth, a beautiful ride. The smell of new leather surrounding him and the music from the perfectly balanced speakers filled the car. Slowly the vision disappeared and he knew it was gone forever. Grinning from ear to ear, he took out the cashier's check made out to Willoughby Mercedes and tore it in half. Then he took out his checkbook and wrote a check for the same amount to Laurie Vanderbilt. He folded it in half, slid it across the table and tucked it under her tightly clasped hands.
"This should help a bit, and we'll manage the rest together," he said.
Then before she could look at the check or say anything, he reached over and kissed her on the lips. To his delight, she kissed him firmly back. Then he answered her question. "My roses?" he said happily. "My roses are doing just great."
If you enjoyed this program and want to hear more like it, consider supporting Curry Coast Community Radio and help us get on the air. For more information, go to our website, kciw.org. Thank you for listening.